Everybody, and welcome to your Thursday, April 26th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that won't take off weeks even when there's nothing to talk about. Joining me this week is Greg Jan.
How you doing?
Mike Lemieux.
Hello.
And special guest host, Robin Van Gilder.
Hello.
And this podcast is all about Bakemon.
All right, see you later.
See you, Robin.
Bye, Robin.
Bye.
All right, so Bakemon ended.
Yeah, that was a thing that happened a couple weeks ago.
Yes, it did.
Completely, I'm going to say, uneventfully?
Anticlimactically.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in retrospect, all they're talking about, like, ending the story where they wanted to suddenly, it kind of makes sense that it would end that way, but, whew, what are your guys' general feelings at the end of it?
For a manga that is about a partnership and a cast of characters, the ending was very much only about two of them and a storyline I don't really care about.
Yeah, for me, Bakemon was always, I don't know, like hot-blooded making manga story. But they seem to think it was a relationship story.
Well, I mean, it was initially a relationship. Like, that was his entire motivation for becoming the manga person in the first place, kind of.
I was going to read a lot more Bakemon this week, but I got busy, so I just read, like, the first 8 chapters. He almost kind of got tricked into being a manga.
It wasn't... Yes.
Or a mangaka.
Yeah.
I mean...
But anyway, it always was kind of the central thread, the motivation that was running through the entire series. The problem is just that it feels like the last, I don't know, 2-3 arcs kind of just got railroaded. Like, they were set on rails, it was going, and then... It feels like it finished a chapter early. It feels like there should be, like, this is the sort of series that should have an epilogue, or that should show, you know, the wedding photo with the ensemble cast there with the two of them in the middle or something like that.
The smash ending, like, after a kiss is just kind of weird. Like, you build up all these interesting characters and then
dump them.
I guess we haven't really said how it ended. So,
well, yes.
Mashiro rents or buys a Ferrari, presumably buys Azuki's old house, and then goes over...
I thought that it was said that her parents still owned the old house.
I don't know if he bought it or they were just stopping by there. They weren't terribly clear about it.
Anyway, it's a pretty standard, our dreams came true, you know, let's get married, kiss, the end. There, not a lot happened.
It was just about Mashiro and Azuki.
Which kind of made me mad, because I like Takagi.
Yeah.
He got he got shafted in the final chapter.
I want to know if he, like...
What else was there for him to get resolved?
I wanted Kaya to get pregnant.
Okay.
I want him to start a...
That could have been a bomb dropped in the final chapter that would have been cool. Yes.
I think just the fact that there was a path for those characters to go on, and the only path we saw the end of, or, like, the start of the end, was for Mashiro.
And even some of the ancillary characters, like Nakai, you know, they started an arc of him losing weight, and that just never, ever got revisited.
Well, I don't think that was starting an arc. It's just showing that he's back on the track of improving himself and that sort of stuff. Like, I was never expecting those things to get embellished on.
Maybe, but I would have liked...
If the series had continued going past this point, I could see that being brought up. But it's the sort of thing where it's kind of like he finally got out of that depression hole that he was in, stopped being the creepo monster maybe, but was actually working on self-improvement.
We kind of got it last chapter with the like one panel each of what everyone's doing.
I think that that's what that was intended to be, was so that this just, final chapter could be about the, you know, the premise. Yeah.
The main character, apparently.
Yeah.
And I mean, ultimately, the entire story of Bakuman has been, we need to beat Eiji. But the way they beat him, like, it just sort of it was like, oh, now you've beaten him. Hooray!
And it's even like, you know, I guess we didn't talk about the previous chapter, though, but it's, they outsold Zombie Gun, and then Eiji just says, okay, the next one's going to outsell you, and they say, okay, then our next one's going to outsell you. That's such a non-ending to that conflict.
How could you possibly resolve that same conflict in a final way? The only way that I can think of that wouldn't be a, well, then our next series is going to back and forth, etc., would be if there was, for some reason, they teamed up on something.
The way I would have done it is one panel just Takagi pulling Mushrooms aside and saying, here's the idea I have for our next manga. That would at least show that they're still as ambitious, without it just being a tit-for-tat, the exact same thing they were doing in our middle school. We're just going to be the best because we are.
All I really wanted was one more page of, like, a picture of them in their 40s or something, still being mangaka, you know, just...
See, I feel like Bakuman's always been a manga about momentum, and the last two chapters are basically a complete halt to it. When you could easily write an ending that's about where they're going without it being A, overly schmaltzy about a storyline no one cares about, and B, just focusing on characters that are not necessarily central to the story. Because, I mean, Azuki, like, she came up a lot, but she was barely there, which is the point of the story, but she... It's hard for me to care about that character when my entire interest in the manga has been about Takagi and Mashiro.
I agree entirely with that. She did not have enough of a presence throughout the entire thing to have emotional impact at the ending.
Right, I like Kaya a lot more because she was there pretty much every chapter.
And even when she's around, she doesn't have much personality. Like, they even kind of say that in the first chapter, that she's just quiet and doesn't draw a lot of attention.
I wonder how much wish fulfillment it's supposed to be for, like, young boys who are drawing manga. Like, oh, you'll be famous and you'll marry the pretty girl that doesn't have much of a personality.
I wonder how much of it is relating back to the past of the two guys who made the manga.
Yeah. I'm really wondering how meta this last arc was supposed to be, you know, with them arguing about ending it. I mean, do you think that's a conversation they actually had with their editor?
About this specific one or about Death Note?
I think of Bakuman.
I saw it more as an apology about Death Note than of the ending of this one.
I'm starting to wonder if they're actually, if they intended to end Bakuman here. Because I mean, at some parts it does seem like they did, and the other parts, like this ending chapter, it didn't seem like, it felt like they were kind of rushed by it.
It's one of those endings that just feels like, well, an event happened, so we might as well stop. You know, I don't know. It's a story with no resolution for me.
But the thing is that given that this was the motivating thing, it would be difficult to continue a shonen type series without that end goal.
Yeah. They brought up ways to keep it going though, like going to a national stage, but then they kind of dropped it after a while.
Like an international stage, like who would be the big one in America?
Yeah, I mean, Eiji toyed with that and then it just was kind of never mentioned again.
I'm thinking maybe, like, they left the possibility open if they were going to keep the manga running. But I guess it wasn't popular enough, maybe, or they just figured it would be better to end it here.
Well, not judging from how the voting was, it seemed to be doing pretty decent. I would guess that they, going from the meta perspective again, they weren't necessarily going to be allowed to end it, so they had to leave that door open in case they needed to continue going.
Yeah.
But overall, would you say the ending is weak? Or do you think it's an appropriate ending for the series?
The thing is, it's not something I would have done. But, you know, clearly they thought differently of the series than I did. So
I think that it's an appropriate ending place, but it was executed poorly.
Yeah.
My big issue with this is that they spent the entire chapter the penultimate chapter talking about how important final panels are.
Yes.
And then they kind of phoned in the actual final panel of Bakuman.
See, like, if you're going to do what they did, have the final panel be the kiss, not the panel after. Know what I mean?
If you read,
it seems like it's supposed to be symbolism, I guess.
Yeah,
well,
but
the symbolism is supposed to be there's the gate between them, and that's them overcoming the obstacles,
right?
That yada yada yada.
But they still have a wall between them. That's terrible symbolism. They didn't overcome anything. They're still on either side of the gate.
Well, no, but they're over it, so they're still together despite the gate.
Yeah.
But I don't need that drilled into me necessarily. I've been reading the manga. I know that they're over the gate.
The thing that gets me about the last page is you could take the left half of it and the right half of it and reverse it, and it would be much better.
Yeah.
Of her saying they can always be by each other's side and then kissing.
Exactly. No, that I 100% agree with you.
I think it should have been at the doorstep and not inside the house, because the big scene from the beginning was Mashiro outside the gate talking to her at her doorstep and asking her to marry him there. I don't know why they went inside. Like, if they were trying to push symbolism, they missed the appropriate part for it.
Did they go inside? I'm looking at it.
I'm pretty sure they went inside.
No, they never went inside.
She went up to the front door.
It's him remembering.
She went up to the front door and then turned around. He's still at the gate outside. So it was the same positions.
Okay. Then I withdraw that criticism.
And also, they did specifically say that her father never sold the house because her mom liked it. So it's basically an empty house owned by them, so I think you can assume that they're going to move in there.
Yeah.
So Mashiro spent all his money on
the Ferrari.
Yeah.
Wish fulfillment for his uncle, because it's kind of creepy they have to act out their parents' generation's missed out dreams.
And did you guys also roll your eyes at the explanation of why he bought a foreign car so that he could sit on her left, because that's how they sat at school?
Is that street legal, by the way?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah. No, you totally can. You can get...
Oh, you can?
I've seen people driving British cars over here. You just
have to...
You have to get, like, special licenses, I would imagine.
But anyway, I didn't roll my... I have to admit, I thought that was kind of cute as those things go.
Yeah, it seemed a little reachy for symbolism. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just not invested in the Azuki Mashiro thing.
I think that's the problem, is I don't really care about their relationship, like, at the baseline.
I did back when he was in the hospital. I remember when I was reading those chapters and they were coming out that I thought it was a big deal with her showing up there and that sort of stuff.
That was like 2 years ago.
The best
that was moment. Much longer than 2 years ago.
The best moment in their relationship was when, what was it? He had to rescue her and like run her away from somewhere. With Edgy cheering them.
Oh,
on.
When she was in the voice actress thing for Natural.
Oh yeah, and it was the was it the Gravure Idol thing? Like someone was trying to get
her. It was her manager, whatever it was trying to get her to be the lead in.
That's right. That's why Edgy was there.
Edgy's anime, and Neji basically said no and was cheering them on as he got her out of there, sort of thing.
And what's her name was trying to force her to do it.
Yeah,
because she's just a horrible.
Because
person.
She's a giant bitch.
Well, that was another thing about Bakuman, that people who are villains they would switch back to being good people pretty much immediately. I think the only exception was Namine.
Nanamine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird that, like, most of the people that were, like, villains, antagonists, would just kind of end up being jerks. Like, they never got their comeuppance. They just kind of, you know, went about their daily lives being jerks.
Like
Iwase, she just kind of, you know, kept doing her thing.
I mean, she was a bitch to, what's her name? She got a new editor at the end. It wasn't Morita. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, did she get a new one at the end? I thought that she was still under, what's his name?
He was passing her on to Nanamine.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
The milquetoast editor that kept that saying poor, he would accomplish something and didn't.
That poor bastard. God, he had the worst career track in the Smaug.
Yeah. I wonder if he was actually based off somebody the way that the rest of the editors and the characters are.
Maybe.
So anyway, that would actually be a good way to go back and talk about the rest of the series, how this started as being so deeply rooted in, like, certain characters were completely based off of other editors in the actual magazine and that sort of stuff.
And they may have been right up till the end.
Yeah, like the editor for One Piece is actually named Hattori.
Well, he's named him, and Hattori's actions were based off of it, but his look was somebody else, and I can't remember who it was.
He was a weird, like, his name was Jean Baptiste, I believe, and he looked like Jesus. Like, he had the long hair and the beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was very strange looking. It made sense that he was
One Piece's editor.
One Piece's, yes. but a lot of the mangaka, too, were based off of real people. Which makes sense why some of them, like the creepy dude, only showed up like twice and never, I don't think, even interacted with the main cast at all.
Oh, yeah. I think he was in one of the final chapters, actually, like for a panel of reaction.
Yeah, he was in the strip club dancing, like in the penultimate chapter. But I really don't think that guy ever interacted with anyone in the main cast, ever.
Nope.
That's weird.
I wonder if it was just one of their friends, maybe, and they wanted to just give him a shout out or something like that, or somebody they heard about.
That's what I mean. That's why it makes sense when you say that they're based off of real people. That's why you can have these characters that just pop in and pop out. You know, why they would go to the effort of that.
But almost everybody started out as they had some significant character flaws that they eventually just sort of didn't have for some reason.
Well, except Hiromaru.
Well, yeah, he was the best part
of the entire manga, so.
Because he didn't change.
Let's talk about Hiromaru for a while, because he's amazing. I want a spinoff
with just him.
Didn't it seem like he was set up to be, like, their biggest rival at first? Like, he's that guy who just naturally good at making manga?
Yeah, it was like...
No, Neji was always the one who was set.
Before they could get to Neji, they had to get over all these other mangaka. But Hiromaru was... His ability as a manga was dismissed very quickly. Like, he was never exactly competition for them.
The thing was, though, before Hiromaru was revealed, there was, like, several chapters talking about him, and they talked him the hell up.
Yeah.
Are you sure that you're not combining him with that one, like, rock star guy?
No,
he was the mysterious businessman that came in one day with a Name.
Yeah, they said he was a salaryman that came in with and like they instantly signed him right there. And it was like he'd never drawn manga before in his life, and it was like the supernatural genius. Although I did forget about the rockstar guy.
There's a guy that was just a side character that was just completely left on the wayside.
That guy's name Kuji something.
I guess he was supposed to be Gokt.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because he did make his own manga and dabbled in video games and stuff like that.
Really?
I guess they didn't like that so much.
Well, I guess I shouldn't be too hard on Gok. That's Nomura's fault for making me hate him.
he was terrible before that. Remember, he was a 400-year-old vampire.
I don't know. Pretending you're a 400-year-old vampire is pretty cool.
Depends on how well you pull it off.
So Aoki was very curt for a while. Like, she hated shonen manga.
She hated men, too.
Yeah. And then at one point just didn't.
So I think she's totally supposed to be the Sailor Moon author, and Hiromaru is Togashi.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Oh, yeah, because... I'm fairly certain. I actually was trying to find they had at one point a, like, picture comparison of all of them, but appears that the Photobucket account has deleted all of them. So
they even look the same?
A lot of them do. Like, similar-ish. But I think it was more the editors than the actual actual writers. But the designs were loosely based off them, yeah.
There was characteristics there that you could attribute to the real people.
Yeah.
I think Nizuma was probably original. Or a composite, at best.
Yeah. He always looked kind of weird. His hair always bugged me.
I couldn't, like, I can't pinpoint any one author he would be.
Oh, actually, his look is based off of, this is one of the ones that was still there, one second. The mangaka of Toriko, actually.
Huh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one second. Here is a picture of him. And you can see it.
Yeah, that's pretty much him.
Yeah. God, he's even got purple hair.
Yeah. Jeez.
When I first saw, like, in terms of his success, he would have to be, like, Kishimoto or Oda. Coming in with, like, a manga and completely taking over Shonen Jump.
Well, Toriko kind of did that. Like, that kind of came up out of nowhere. And
was that that big when he was introduced?
Oh, it's...
Maybe, yeah, that's shot right off, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was, like, number two, number three, like, pretty quickly. And it's always right at the top. Because it's frequently number one, looking it up. Yeah. So, the one I can never place was who Fukuda was supposed to be.
Fukuhara? Was that it, or...?
No, Fukuda. I'm correct.
Probably.
The racer guy?
I assume he was the guy who makes, God, there's a motorcycle manga that the name escapes me. It was either a muscle car manga or a motorcycle one.
Are you thinking of, like, Initial D or something?
Maybe. But it was, like, explicitly about motorcycles, I think. And apparently he has white hair, which surprises me.
Yeah. Well, kind of like pink white whenever I see it.
Well, I'm looking at a shot of him in the anime. He just has straight up white hair. I would assume he was blonde. Yeah, he was one of the two or three assistants of Nizuma.
Yeah, along with Nakai.
That's how they originally met, right?
Yeah, which actually feels a long, long time ago.
It was.
I mean, how long did Bakuman run for?
Bakuman started in 2008, so three and a half years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty long time.
I mean, it ran a while, but it feels longer than it was.
Well, because 10 years passed, and they did a good job of making it feel like 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised it's only been 3.5, honestly.
Yeah, actually, it feels like it's been a much longer time. We must have started watching that, or reading it, really early in the series, didn't we?
I started from the first chapter.
I started about 40 volumes in. Chapters.
I think I started around the time that he was in the hospital, so.
Yeah, I've been going since the beginning on this. It's one of the few that I got on the ground floor of.
I'm kind of annoyed that Nananime didn't get comeuppance.
I was kind of hoping the final chapter would have him come back somehow.
And then just get hit by a car. No.
That would be
and I found the image with the editors, in case you're curious with that. So the Eiji's editor is the editor for Bleach. The editor-in-chief is actually the chief editor of Weekly Shonen Jump. And then Hattori's character design is Saito Yu. Who does he?
I forgot how freaky Hattori looked right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the fish guy and Morita was the gorilla. Because editors had animal themes.
Yujiro's? I can't remember. They called him an animal at some point, too.
I can't remember. Turtle, maybe?
Oh, he's got, like, the big afro. I don't remember. They did call him an animal at some point, though.
Right.
I specifically remember that.
They dropped the animal theme fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, and then Ida is actually the editor of Bakuman, so. So they included their own editor.
Yeah, and Ida was, like, what, the chief of Hattori's division?
Kind of, yeah. He was the one that always seemed to have the good ideas, but never really directly interacted with the pair of Ashirugu Mudo.
As a whole, I feel like Bakuman probably stands as one of the better slice-of-life mangas within Shonen Jump.
Here's a question. Now that it's over, would you recommend that somebody starts reading it?
Yes, I would.
I think I would too. Having read the beginning again, it's.
I also think that in general, it's the sort of series that will read better in one block as opposed to as a weekly format. I think that a lot of these plot lines that felt kind of like stretched out, dragged out at times, will read a lot better when you're going through it all at once.
And the kind of non-ending cliffhangers won't feel so bad when there's not a whole week to the next chapter.
Right.
Yeah. I do think that overall, the earlier sessions when they were the underdogs, when they were like really down and trying to first make their name.
Yeah.
It felt that there was greater motivation, there was greater tension, there were ways that they could foul things up. But in the process of success, when you know they stopped their one series and said we're gonna start, and the editor in chief said, okay, well if this one gets canceled, then you won't be able to start again, sort of thing, with a fresh one. That in its own way kind of removes some tension because you know that they have to make it with this one.
Yeah, you're right. Like by the end, they were the top 1% and they were just trying to kind of, you know, shave a little bit off of their high score and just do a little tiny bit better.
Right. Yeah.
When they were fighting for their lives with every manga, it was pretty interesting.
And I also think that one of the best parts of the series is the, you know, throwing out different ideas, trying out different ideas, which is why the ones where there's a whole bunch of interaction with other people and you're seeing some of the other manga ideas were the more interesting chapters.
Right. When they're struggling, I think it's a better manga than it is when they're succeeding. Like those moments of success are great, but I found most of the Reversi arc boring because of that, as opposed to like Trap. Because it had nothing to do with the actual manga itself. It was just when they're already at the top, I don't care. The stakes aren't as high.
I was kind of disappointed with how Detective Trap went out, which was basically they had to take a break and a bunch of copycat people came out, so the market was saturated, so it just failed when it came back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a realist, you know, that's a thing with manga.
Yeah.
Which is why unless you're already at the top, you can't take breaks.
I mean, that was something about the manga that seemed like Obata and Oba wanted to kind of show how the sausage is made a little bit, you know, take some of the mystery out of what happens.
Well, it serves, like, Bakuman as a whole served a bunch of different purposes like that. Like, on one hand, it was part of they want to advertise to young kids, hey, if you want to be a mangaka, just try, and you might get in. And they also wanted to, there was a big bit of Shonen Jump advertising, I suppose, that listen to your editors, they know what they're talking about, and sometimes, hey, do what you want and your editor will fight for you. So it seems like they wanted to express a lot about the manga making business and within the confines of Bakuman. Though I do wonder how much of that
seems to be more concentrated in the beginning, though. That information stuff, like info dumping about the back end of things, seemed to drop off as the series went on.
Yeah, there was a lot more early on about like how the gears turn, you know, from the Name to the proofs to
the order of the table of contents.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Bakuman taught me a lot of things about manga that I never would have known.
And I was kind of surprised that they never actually dealt with the fact that Shonen Jump is struggling these days.
No, Shonen Jump had to be seen as this pillar of manga.
Right. Like, they don't talk about the fact that producing a large volume of a print copy of a comic every week is insane.
Yeah, it's quite expensive.
And probably doesn't make its money back.
Yeah.
Probably need to kind of do what Shonen Jump Alpha, because you can't even get the print comic in America anymore, right? They've gone completely digital just with the six.
Yeah.
I mean, five now.
Where would you sell a big volume of print manga in America? Nobody would buy it.
Yeah.
In grocery stores.
Certainly not on a weekly basis. Maybe you could get a monthly thing going in comic shops.
Well, even then, when was the last time you went to the magazine rack of your local Walmart?
Personally, like, never.
Or when I go to buy, like, a new pen because it's right next to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's not stuff you look for, and they have, like, Shonen Jump has to digitize. And I was kind of shocked that Like I said, I think maybe one of the first or second episodes here, I was shocked that Bakuman didn't tackle that, I suppose. Maybe they were told not to, or maybe it's not something that Obata and Takeshita really care about.
Well, is Weekly Shonen Jump actually making a digital copy in Japan right now?
It's a week late, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yep. So nobody cares.
Yeah. I'm shocked they're even doing it, though.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what's funny is they would get more control. If it went entirely digital, they would get more control over the releases.
Yep.
Like, it wouldn't be the case where there's a whole bunch of scanlations online where people are reading them a week, you know, half a week before it's out on the stores.
For whatever reason, content providers in general think that the second they put something online, it becomes fodder for the entire internet.
Well, yeah, let's be fair, it wouldn't be terribly difficult to.
Yeah. But the second they put it online is still better than day zero, like now.
Yeah, well, day -3, like now.
Yeah.
Remember, we're getting these things on Wednesday when the magazine isn't released until the next Sunday.
So, I don't know if you guys want to talk about, like, what's your favorite moment in Bakuman now that it's over?
My favorite moment was him showing the results where they were number one to his uncle's grave.
Yeah. Mine was the reveal that the old man that was drawing the panty flash fight was the assistant. The kind of emotional twist that turn took.
Mine was when Takagi was trying to tell Kaya that he wasn't cheating on her with Aoki. So he, like, proposed to her.
That's a pretty good way to show that.
Yeah, I liked that entire subplot right there, actually, thinking Kaya, back to it.
Kaya and Takagi's relationship was great. I love those two.
It was normal, which is strange for... They had the only healthy relationship in the series.
But not even, like... it was the only healthy one in the series, but it was also... It's one of the few normal relationships that's actually portrayed correctly in media that I can think of.
That they dated and then liked each other and got married?
Well, just that, like, there wasn't over-the-top drama having to go along with it. And, well, you know, she suspected of him of cheating and whatnot, and they reacted the way that people in those circumstances kind of would have, you know?
Right, and they had a fight when he was living with, what's his name? The kid in Peace.
Yeah. With his dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace.
Yeah.
That kid failed spectacularly. He didn't even get a reaction shot at the end.
I think it was in the previous chapter.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, because I had to remember who it was. I was like, oh, a dog. Okay. It's that guy. Yeah, he's got money, though. He doesn't need to succeed.
There's the other lesson that was taught. You don't have to worry about, you know, skills and perseverance and success if you're already wealthy. You can keep trying.
The one thing they never really touched on was... I mean, Mashiro had some plots with his home life, but Takagi didn't. He'd mentioned once that his mother is never around. And that was kind of the extent of it.
Yeah, we didn't really see them, did we?
Like,
yeah,
no one showed up at a wedding.
They were introduced at his wedding, weren't they?
Were they?
I don't know. I kind of feel like I don't know anything about Takagi.
Like, his only family is Kaya and Mashiro.
Yeah, I remember, wasn't he pushed to, get into a good high school and that kind of stuff? And that's why he kind of rebelled and became an Engaka.
He says a whole bunch of stuff. Like, the reason he reads so much manga is because his parents are never home. Or his mom is never home. He never mentions a father.
Yeah.
It's usually something they could have gone into and they didn't. Which is fine, that's not the focus they want to take the manga. But it's strange that he's all incredibly successful... And his family never really factors in. Or anybody's family, really. Except for that one kid. I was actually kind of disappointed they didn't have the assistant, you know, the gung-ho one that they've always had, get his own manga at some point.
Yeah, I like that kid. The sports kid.
Yeah. Because he was the one who was saying, I'm going to be a manga, He's the only fan of Ashirogimoto that we know of that did not become evil.
Yeah, I guess they have a 50-50 record, don't they?
But overall, I don't know. I would recommend Bakemonogatari to people if you haven't read it. But I mean, if you listen to another spoiler cast about it so far, you've read it.
If you just listened to half an hour of us talking about every facet and twist in the manga.
Oh, please, we didn't cover half of the story arcs that are in this
Oh, I know.
series.
I'm just teasing
Because there's a
then.
lot more that I don't remember. Like, I didn't think about the kid with the dog until just now.
God, what else is there?
I can't remember most of them. Like, it was
I
every couple of weeks they had a new manga to overcome.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't really talk about. It wasn't Trap. The childish manga.
A Tonto.
Yeah, Tonto. And, like, how everyone, all their peers, were disappointed in them.
But they were
And it
super
was a
big with like.
success, but they just didn't really enjoy doing it, and.
Well, it was a success with like 5-year-olds, and they, yeah, it wasn't the audience they wanted to reach.
Which, when you think about it, was kind of unreasonable to them, or for them. Because they were doing pretty okay, and they could, like, riding Tonto out would not have been the end of the world. Mashiro was just sort of getting impatient.
And it still took
And
like
yeah, and
several.
that's right. That's why we don't really remember the wedding, because the wedding arc wasn't about the wedding. It was Mashiro being a dick at the wedding
Oh
and
yeah.
wanting to
Oh
quit
yeah, he got
Tonto.
drunk. He got drunk, didn't he? And like started yelling at people.
No, he was talking to Hattori at the reception.
Yeah.
That while they were talking, like, they were giving their vows or something, Mashiro was trying to argue with him about Tonto.
Well, no. It wasn't during the vows. It was when, like, the editors were giving speeches talking about, talking about the relationship of the two of them and that sort of stuff.
All right, and like, he asked Hattori to see him outside, and Takagi tried to get up and go. And I looked at that, like, large full or 2-page panel of Kaya glaring at him, saying, "I understand, but this is your wedding."
Yeah.
She is far too reasonable of a wife.
Aside from Hiromaru, she is the secret best character.
Probably.
With her freaky strength.
I really liked Fukuda early on, but then he got like at
He
that
got kind of one note.
yeah, after that point he was just, that manga creator they call occasionally and who will call other people.
Get angry about something.
Yeah. I mean, like, remember when he wanted to change Shonen Jump from the inside?
No.
He wanted to change the entire voting system
Yeah,
because it was
I
broken.
know. He also likes To Love Ru, though, so.
Well, he was proving a point. Oh god, what a weird story To Love Ru was. Like, not the actual story of the manga, but.
The drama behind it ending is pretty amazing. We
Yeah.
should talk about it someday.
I don't know if I know about that.
We'll talk about it someday. This isn't the place
Okay.
for it. It's crazy.
Yeah, so as a whole, what do you think of Bakuman?
I enjoyed it. I'll miss it.
Do you think it should have gone on longer?
No,
No, I
I think this is a good
think
time to end
that.
it. I just think they didn't do it right.
Yeah, I think that they should have cut out some of the smaller arcs that dealt with extraneous characters, like the kid with the dog and those sort of things. I think that they could have done without those and taken a little more time on like these last two arcs to make them more dramatic.
They did a lot of world building and then never visited the world.
You know what never came up again? Mashiro training himself to do his own manga.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
Well, he was doing that, and then it ended up not being necessary because he was completely misunderstanding what
Yeah, that's
Takagi
right.
was
There
doing. Yeah.
he thought Takagi was gonna leave
But he
him
was
for
still
another
working on
girl.
it after Takagi came back to.
But the point, what would be the point of him going and trying to do his own after Takagi came back? That would just kind of be being a jerk.
Well, at that point, PCP wasn't getting its own manga or anime,
Yeah.
so he wanted to make his own, and they couldn't drop PCP after they dropped Tonto.
Yeah, and then the whole monthly, weekly thing came out, so.
That was a long time after. They had, like, two non-anime stuff in the meantime.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
God, that guy really was their Team Rocket, huh?
I was okay with the first arc, with the crowdsourcing arc, but the corporate manga arc was. Like, if not for the scene where the old guy tells Mashiro about his uncle, it would have been mostly unredeemable.
I've said it before, my problem is that, like, his story got resolved and then it just, like, rewound
for no reason. Yeah, he didn't have any growth whatsoever.
Though I do love the explanation that he learned the lesson, he just learned the completely wrong lesson, and it didn't lead on at all. Next time he's just going to have to be way more evil.
I'm surprised they didn't come back for, like, one last thing. Because he didn't learn the lesson that time either.
Maybe we'll see him in Bakuman Z.
Don't think that there's going to be a Bakuman Z.
I wouldn't be, like, upset with a Bakuman spinoff of some sort.
I want another, like, one-shot, like a 10 years later kind of thing. But
that maybe would an be OVA it. Down the line or something like that.
Or about that one, their assistant, that...
Yeah.
He was a good character, and they should have used him more.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think the next series that these guys are going to do is going to be about?
I hope it's a serious one like Death Note. They're good at that.
Well, do you think it's going to involve writing and or drawing of some sort?
Maybe.
Hikaru no Go didn't involve those things. It was about Go. So logically, the next one should be about chess.
So it's what they've done: Go, serial killing, manga.
Well,
there's a pattern here. We're just not seeing it.
All their manga are about playing the game better than other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the next one is going to be about global thermonuclear war.
They would do good with something like another slice of life one, like say a guitarist.
Yeah, that'd be good. Someone that has a dream
right.
that they want to accomplish, whether that be
murdering everybody,
a manga, or killing everybody in the world so you can rule it.
But in all seriousness, I could see these guys being good at doing like a political drama of some sort or something like that.
I feel like that would get just so lost on Western audiences. Like, not that Bakuman particularly appealed to people in the West.
Yeah, well, not only not appealing to Western audiences, I don't know if it appeals to, you know,
anybody.
Shonen Jump age characters, or like you know, people who would be reading Shonen Jump.
Yeah,
children.
The thing about Bakuman that was brilliant is that they made a point to make a manga about something that kids wanted to do. Because if you're reading Shonen Jump, there's like a 90% chance you want to start making manga.
Yeah, built-in audience.
Okay. Pretty smart if you think about it.
So I don't think like it's going to be that easy to just start fresh with new kids on something, a new profession.
It's hard to guess on this kind of stuff, though, because like the Full Metal Alchemist mangaka, her next one was about a farm. So
true. Yeah. How is that, by the way?
I've heard it's great. I've never read it.
And sometimes manga just can't come back with anything good.
Yeah.
Like, look at Toriyama. He had probably the most popular manga in the world. And what was his next one? Desert something?
Sandland.
Nobody cares about that.
I like Sandland.
Not even DBZ fans care about Sandland.
It wasn't up yours. It was okay.
But it didn't reach anywhere.
But it doesn't matter, because he's got the Dragon Quest character design stuff anyway, and that's going to, you know, give him bank for forever.
Yeah, he's a celebrity artist, but it just... Yeah. You can't always hit those same notes and expect the same result.
Speaking of random Dragon Ball stuff and getting completely off topic, the webcomic Dragon Ball Multiverse is kind of awesome.
Yeah, I saw you post some stuff.
Yeah.
I read all of that in one night once, and then I was like, okay, I'm pretty much...
Yeah, it's basically like 3 pages come out a week sort of thing, but the premise is basically that some alien race has basically gotten a whole bunch of people from parallel universes where, you know, different... factions inside of the Dragon Ball universe had won, and then wants to have a tournament between them to see who's the strongest. I mean, that is the entire premise. It's completely stupid, but it's like completely fan service and is entertaining.
That I think I might have to read this. That sounds That sounds absolutely perfect.
So anyway, with Bakuman out of our rotation, we've been discussing some potential ones to fill in the gap. I think I'm the only one who's checked anything out so far, but
I've been super busy. I meant to read some stuff.
Yeah,
I've checked out a little bit of Sket Dance, and it seems interesting.
What's it about? What's its basic premise?
It's like PCP, but entirely opposite. It's about a school club that tries to help people. And they get on wacky misadventures that way.
Yeah, I read one chapter and it was like they were imagining some kind of robot invasion, but like Gigantor-style robots. Something, something. I don't know.
It seems like
they
it would be
imagining
funny.
Imagining it? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's more of a comedy thing.
It seems a lot like Gintama, but in a school.
And hopefully a little less random.
Not from what I read.
Okay. Anyway, I've read 10 chapters of Nura Rise of the Yokai Clan now, which is the other series which is in Shonen Jump Alpha, which is why I decided to check it out. It seems like it's kind of generic, but the artwork's pretty decent. It's very busy. Basically, yokai are evil spirits, Japanese mythology. And basically, the main character's grandfather was kind of the ruler of all of them, and then he had a half-breed child who then also had a child with a human. So the main character is one-fourth yokai, three-fourths human, and it's basically his coming-of-age sort of thing.
This sounds a lot like Inuyasha already.
Yeah, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde sort of thing, where he's usually the human kid. But then there's moments of extreme duress where he's having to rescue people or something like that, where he basically transforms into the demon form, but can only hold it for a fourth of a day because he's only a fourth.
Still sounds like Inuyasha.
Absolutely.
This sounds a lot like Inuyasha.
Yeah, he has absolutely no recollection of anything that's going on, anything that happens while he's in that form.
Inuyasha.
And it's basically the Jekyll and Hyde thing is that the demon wants to actually conquer all of the other demons, become the leader, etc., and he wants to basically banish that part of his life and be completely human. So
okay, this is a very important question. Is there a schoolgirl that falls down a well at any point?
There is no well. There are school kids.
I like but the no. clarification. It's like, it's not a well, but...
No.
It's a ravine that they build bricks around.
I've actually never seen Inuyasha. From what I've heard, it sounds kind of similar, although there are no crystals at this point. All I know about Inuyasha is they're searching for crystal shards.
They dropped that pretty quickly.
Doesn't sound that much like Inuyasha. I think we're just giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
but like the
it's your basic thing. So you know, of course, then some of that there's enemy demon leaders that don't want him to become it. So they start messing with his classmates, and that causes conflict. And you know, Shonen Jump, etc., etc. It looks like it has decent premise for a fighting manga. So
the other one that I had suggested was Madoka Box, but looking into that more, I don't think that's going to be a contender.
Every time we mention it, people tell us no.
It's like, oh, and that's terrible.
It's also been last place for like the last 2 months, except for Stars, and we know what happened to Stars, so that's probably not a good idea to start that.
Right.
Well, we've already established that anything we read is going to get canceled eventually, right?
Yes.
You're up.
We have the kiss of death.
Bleach is next. We're coming for it.
Though if you had asked me like 3 months ago if Bakuman would end earlier than Bleach, I probably would have said no. Because it was winding down, but I wouldn't say it was like the ending was going to be that abrupt.
I figured we still had another arc. I thought it was going to be, marriage and then an arc and then a nice, happy ending.
Nope.
But anyway, so it's probably going to be between Sket Dance and Nurahion no Mago.
Just Nura.
Okay, Nura.
The yokai.
There's also Toriko, I feel I should mention. But
well, yes.
Guys seem pretty.
We might pick that up anyway. I mean, we're probably going
to
do two out of three.
We're not limited to picking up one. I mean, it's not like.
Yeah. So do you guys want to all split off and start reading one? I've already read some Toriko, so.
Well, the only problem is if we're all reading different things, then you're going to be explaining it to the other person. So then if they ever want to go and pick it up and read it, they'll go, oh, yeah, this is what he talked about, and not really care that much. And we won't be able to have any back and forth discussion about stuff.
Well,
so
why don't we just split off and read different ones? Then we'll decide on. Two or three, or one or two.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll pick. I'll take Toriko. Imran will take Sket Dance, and Greg will take Nura.
Sounds good.
All right.
Also, if anyone has any suggestions, tweet at Imran.
And I'll probably read that.
And also, there's for the next three issues of Shonen Jump, there's new series starting, so maybe we'll get on.
Are they new series or one shots?
New series.
Oh, okay.
They're done with the one-shots. Now it's new series time.
Oh, post-Golden Week, yeah.
Yeah.
So now the question is whether any of those will actually get, you know, scanlated, but...
Probably not. Speaking of which, should we explain what Golden Week is, or do you think most people know?
There's an assload of holidays, and they put them in a week.
They physically moved holidays around so they could get a solid week. Like, they celebrate people's birthdays on other days.
So, yeah, they didn't have a Shonen Jump this week, so that's why we talked about Bakuman.
Yeah, and I think it went well.
Future Golden Weeks, I'm not sure what we're going to do, because this was a, I guess, happy coincidence that Bakuman happened to end.
Happy being...
Yeah.
Well,
not the right word.
Yeah. Convenient.
Yes. So,
I don't know.
We'll see what happens next time.
Next time there's a break of some kind.
Yeah.
It could be an opportunity to talk about, I don't know, an anime or something like that we might have all watched, or, you know, even getting into non-Shonen Jump series that are not necessarily the standard fare for this podcast.
I definitely want to watch Apollo no Han, or whatever it was called.
I think it'd be fun to have a non-Jump cast on the off weeks, where we just talk about, like, completely unrelated manga and anime.
Shonen Gangan cast, doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
I honestly don't even know what magazines the other things I read are in.
I know of Shonen Sunday only because that was Square Enix's.
I know Shonen Gangan because it's... Wait, no, Shonen Sunday is not Square Enix's.
Isn't it?
No. You're thinking of... I think Shonen Gangan is theirs, isn't it?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Monthly Shonen Gangan, publisher, Square Enix.
Well, there we go.
Bam.
So that was the one Fullmetal Alchemist ran in.
Yes, yeah. And Soul Eater and...
Yeah, Soul Eater's the other one that I know that's in that one.
Various Dragon Quest series.
But all right, so next week we'll be back to our regular scheduled programming. More Naruto, One Piece. Nothing's off next week that we know of, right?
No. Nothing is off, no.
Okay. So
nothing's off for a few weeks, so...
We may not have our new manga decided by then, but we'll have... the rest of the stuff back.
These manga are pretty huge, and getting through them is going to take some time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not everything gets to be Beelzebub that we rip through it quickly.
Yeah, well, not everything's as entertaining as Beelzebub, so it doesn't feel like you're ripping through it that quickly.
Guys, next week we get a new Beelzebub chapter.
Hooray.
How awesome is that going to be?
Yes.
I'm actually looking forward to Naruto now, because I want them to end this Kabuto thing.
And get back to the other fights?
Yes.
That fight.
Oh, yeah. The flashback you want to end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, One Piece should be pretty good because of the Caesar Clown stuff. And I'm sure Bleach will have more Nazis.
One Piece is going to slow the hell down very soon. Because he started working on the movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit, you're right.
Yeah, they actually posted up some character sketches for the new villain, if I'm not mistaken.
That crazy guy with the big arm?
Yeah, the Z, and he has like a mech arm or something like that.
Great.
Alright, so we'll see you guys next week. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
This has been your Thursday, April 26th Jumpcast, and we'll see you next week.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Oh, we're not fighting Robin?
Oh, yeah. Did you want to...
I don't know. That seems like a silly joke.
I think it's a great joke of the All Bakemon podcast with special guest Robin, and then...
He actually, like, said that to me himself without us mentioning it to him when we were playing Left 4 Dead one time. Like, you guys should have me on for the Bakemon cast. I'll just disappear.
I really think we should do that because it's the last chance for that joke.
All right, is he online? Nope.
No, well, he's not on Skype.
Is he on Steam?
Get on Skype.
Yes.
Okay. All right, go ahead and message him and tell him to get on Skype.
The first month.
He said, all right. So.
Okay, because that might have something to do with me just repeatedly sending him get on Skype over and over again.